and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. How are genetic improvements disseminated from PIC development throughout the breeding herd, and how might that impact your management considerations? Our special guest today on that topic is Todd Moratz of Wakefield Pork and PIC's Gerardo Lopez and Lindsay Case.
I'm Todd Moratz. I'm head of production here at Wakefield Pork. I also am in charge of the genetic program here and work closely with PIC.
Gerardo, I'm regional supply chain director for North America. I'm responsible for all the GNs, the Birchwood system, and global exportations.
Lindsay, and I lead the genetic services team for North and Latin America.
Well, again, thank you all for coming in today. Tell me about experience. How long have you been in the position, or at least in the industry?
I've been at PIC for 8 years now. I started as a member of the genetic services team, and I'm actually Canadian, so I moved down from the Toronto area to the Nashville area about 8 years ago when I started with PIC.
Gerardo, I am from Mexico. I have been in probably in the pig industry for 20 years, and I'm working for PIC last four years.
Great. And Todd, you've already kind of given us your CV.
Yeah, I've been at Wakefield here a little over 12 years now. Been in the industry since late 80s in North Carolina for 5 years, but most of my time has been spent here in Minnesota.
So talk to me about the dissemination of that genetic package, today's genetic package. How does that spread?
Well, on my side, we are responsible for the production, right? For the production and deliver to the customers. So today we have, in North America, we have two GNs, okay, based in North Dakota and Saskatchewan in Canada. And from then we do all the disseminations around the world. We do it through two methods, right? It's trucking or to airplanes, okay? So it's 50% and 50% more or less. Okay, and regarding the standards, the global standard that we use, usually we work with genetic service to provide those standards. It depends on the customers or requirements or lines that they needed.
So I'd say we work very closely with Gerardo and his team. So if their focus is on producing high quality animals from one of our genetic farms, genetic services is then responsible for the potential of those animals to improve the production potential, the meat yields, and the sustainability of our customers' operations. So while Gerardo gets really excited about outstanding off-test performance of the boars in our genetic farms, our goal is to make sure that Todd and the team at Wakefield Pork and the rest of our producers around the world are realizing or keeping pace with the same rate of improvement that are happening on the farms that Gerardo and the team manage. So once we have the right quality of animals in terms of health and in terms of structure, we help optimize where we place those animals globally so that producers like Wakefield Pork and the rest of our customers around the world can benefit from that genetic improvement.
What percentage would be live animals and what percentage would be through semen?
From a global dissemination standpoint, the GGP and GP maternal boars, that dissemination tends to happen a lot more through semen, where we really focus those elite boars that have a broad impact on not only the multiplication and the cambro performance, but also her market pigs. And then the dissemination through terminal line semen usually comes through the boar itself being shipped to boar stud. So it depends on what level of the production pyramid that you're looking at, where maternal lines usually through semen, terminal lines usually the boar itself.
And as far as Wakefield Pork is, the way we're structured, we built a multiplier, line three herd in 2006 that we call Red Oak. That has, and up till this day, has supplied all of our replacement gilts through our system of 55,000 sows. We most recently built a backup multiplier called White Pine in 2017. I think the biggest opportunity that we had, within the in, you know, inception at Red Oak was we expanded that site in 2010, which allowed us to incorporate a GDU and really make it a closed herd within the system. To me, that better allowed us to manage the EBVs and the indexes of the animals in there to make better decisions internally for our own commercial production. And we have a boar stud that we built a new boar stud actually in 2008. We utilized 337s on the Cambro female, which has been, you know, for us the flagship within the company and for us is the right decision that we've made from a genetic standpoint. So really we receive live animals from, you know, as far as boars from Apex into the boar stud. The sows are, you know, it's a closed system, so we make our own replacements, which we work closely with Rob on making decisions on which animals we keep, semen usage on those pures to make our own internal replacements. And that system for us has been, you know, really good as far as the bottom line of the company goes.
What are the control points to optimize this genetic distribution? What are those points that you focus on most closely as you optimize that dissemination?
I think we really look at that in three different ways in terms of critical control points. The first one is health. And I think paramount is making sure that when we're distributing genetics, whether that be through gilts, boars, or semen, we're not compromising the health of our customer systems. The second critical control point would be, again, be quality of that animal. So as we're off-testing the animals and shipping either a boar or a gilt to a customer's production system, that's a quality animal that will have a solid production life within either the boar stud or the PN herd. We can ship the most genetically elite animal, but if she can't contribute, say, three or more parities to the herd, then we're not really optimizing the dissemination of those genetics anyway. So once we have the right health and the right structure and quality of that animal, that's when we start to focus on the genetic dissemination piece. And when we look across how we're distributing them, PIC is working with over 400 customer PN herds, multiplication herds, and over 500 boar studs globally. And as we look at shipping high health, right structure, high genetic value animals, across the global PIC customer base, we've made about $12 of genetic improvement per full program PIC market pig over that time with healthy, high quality animals.
Also, I would like to add a little bit here on the other part, right? Having, you know, the Bearscoot system and all those is the implementation, right? After we get those animals, how good are we doing implementation due to the recommendations to genetic service or technical service, right? Are we using the right board? Are we collecting the right board? Are we doing the best practice on extending the semen? Do we have the right quality control of the semen? So I think there is separate things on the implementation, as well using the tools that we have available for us, such as PigTrack, you know, the monthly reports, all those that are provided to us to making sure the implementation is correctly, so we can express all the genetic performance of our animals.
I think actually that's a great question for Todd. So we just talked about what we do at the PIC side, but within a production system that owns their own multiplication and their own boar stud, there's a lot of tools that make sure once the animals are delivered, they have the capability to maximize the dissemination of the new improvement through their system. So Todd, what's your experience like working with PickTrack, both from a sow herd multiplication perspective as well as for the boar studs?
Yeah, that is a good segue because your three pillars are what we manage and talk about every day here at Wakefield. One is obviously the health and the quality of the animal coming in, which we, you know, relate back to the genetics. And without health, you know, you really can't optimize the genetic expression that we're receiving from the indexes, but that's the level to get that as high as we possibly can. And then really the management of the commercial animal and also the management through PigTrack of the indexing of the sows and the boars or the semen and making sure that, You know, we're getting that expression all the way through. And we count on PIC, you know, every year or 2 years whenever they change the structure of the EBVs and implementation of, you know, maybe weighing those a little bit differently to make sure that, you know, the proper decisions are being made, you know, for where we're currently at. We use PigTrack. It's one of those things within a multiplier. It puts a lot of pressure from my standpoint, which is a good pressure on the multipliers themselves. And I tell them every day, you're making decisions that affect every pig that goes to market. So the 1.5 million pigs we go into market, you're making decisions that are affecting those every day. And so if there's any question, you know, whether or not, you know, mistakes happen, we're human, that happens, we move on from it. But we have to hold the multipliers and the genetics to a highest standard to make sure that if there's any question at all about how things are being done, that we make the right decision, we disseminate those animals, we make sure that, you know, we have to be 100% accurate. And Rob, you know, really helps us with that to make sure that if there's any questions through PigTrack, we get those back to the farm. And if they're not 100% certain, then we make those adjustments accordingly and, you know, make sure that it's without compromise. But it's good. And it's also, we work very closely with Rob on the boars coming in to make sure that because we're an end user, all the pigs we own all the way through the system, that we get as much value out of those genetics as we possibly can.
In a perfect system, plans wouldn't change, health would not be an issue, and market conditions would be consistent. This is not a perfect system. How do you respond to what goes on at that customer level in order to meet their needs and at the same time, I'll say, protect your interest as well? How do you get the right pigs in the right place at the right time?
That's a great question. On that area, as a supply chain, we work really hard on our contingency plans, right? We want to make sure that, I just mentioned, few of the farms that we have here in North America, right? But as a strategic standpoint, we're making sure, one, that we have the products in different places, right? Because we know that something can happen to our herds, right? And our customers count that we're going to deliver the boars or deliver the gills or the semen for them, right? So that's part of the strategies as a supply chain that we implemented, making sure they have the products, not just boars, gills, as well as semen, right? So we can on those situations to making sure that they have the product available. That's one of the biggest strategies that we do as a supply chain.
That's a great question, and it does really take a team approach from PIC. With a kind of biological timeline to produce a pig, we essentially need to know a year in advance what customer needs are going to be so that we can start the matings to have the right pigs born, off-tested, and shipped to customers. And that's about a year-long process just when you look at kind of the biological timeline of producing a select weight gilt or a boar. So we really work across PIC directly with our customers and the sales team to predict out in the next year to 18 months how many boars are we going to need to sell to different customer systems, how many customers do we know are doing gilt stockings, so we can start about a year ahead of time getting the right matings in place in the right locations to make sure that we have the right mix of products available to customers. So that really is an effort between, I would say, first customer sales and genetic services saying, here's the predicted needs over the next year to 18 months. And we work very interactively with customers and transparently saying, hey, we'd really like your orders in. What product mixes are you going to need a year from now so we can get that information into the order system? Once it's into the order system, then it's up to Gerardo and his team to make the right matings for the right boars and gilts to have them available at the right time for our customers. So it's a very proactive and interactive process with our customers to make sure that we're thinking ahead to have the right select weight animals available at the right time.
And I talk a little bit about the contingency, right? The plan, all the planning that we have to do ahead, right? Our planning is 5 years ahead, right? planning on a difference of 5 years. So the other thing that's important is the teamwork. We work very close to health insurance, right? So just to making sure that we have all the biosecurity, right? All the testing procedures, meaning any new technology regarding how we're going to testing and release, for example, for the semen, just to make sure that we have all protecting our customers. So I think it's a team effort for the supply chain to protect our customers and making sure we have continuous supply of the genes.
Todd, does any of this provide opportunities for you as an end user or challenges?
Some of both, actually. The contingency is something that we looked at too with the backup multiplier, you know, not to have all our eggs in one basket, and the planning of, okay, when do we add another sow unit? Do we have gilts available? Obviously, we can't breed them all at 210 days on the day, as an example. There has to be a little bit of a range there. You run into delays with construction. You run into delays with, whatever those factors may come up with health or some of those challenges. But as far as like the boar stud, we build in some contingencies with we may receive boars every 6 weeks. Well, we also understand that the system could get set up if we need to take a set of boars at 5 weeks or delay a set of boars coming in to better help, either ourselves or PIC, or maybe it's a level of index of boars, that we have that kind of flexibility built into the system. But I think overall, those contingencies have to be in place for, expansion. You may have a set of clients that because of market conditions all of a sudden change their plans as far as what their, growth or replacement rate may be. And because of market influences and, to be nimble enough and flexible enough to meet those challenges and those decisions are critical to a commercial end user.
If I match higher value genetics with a maximum capability management team, is that my best outcome? What other elements feed into that?
I think that's a perfect question for Todd.
Whoops, Todd, she threw it to you.
I picked up on that. So we are on the MAX program for the 337s, and it is one of those things we ask ourselves too, as far as the genetic expression, on how much genetic expression can we capture, or are we willing to change the system in order to capture? As an example, a index of 150 pig out in the system, we may not be able to capture all of the genetic expression just because there are limitations that we have within the system on maybe it's stocking density, maybe it's feeder space, maybe it's health, maybe it's where those pigs are ultimately going to be grown. What is the health of that flow that those pigs are going into? We're committed to use the highest level of index that we can possibly get, or EBV, because we think we can capture that. If they grow fast enough, we can market them maybe sooner. I think there's other traits, as far as meat quality, average daily gain, feed efficiency, all those things, robustness, that are allowing us to capture that expression as long as we maintain the health. And again, health wins at the end of the day.
And one interesting thing to note, we have some of our boars coming off test now in the farms that Gerardo's managing, the intact boars during their test period growing over a gram a minute. So when you look at the potential in the pipeline, it's outstanding to think about the potential that is available to producers in the future in terms of things like growth rate and feed efficiency, like Todd just explained.
Talk to me about your elite farms. Paint me a picture.
It's one of the reasons I'm proud to work for PIC, isn't only focusing on the generation of new genetic improvement at our genetic farms, but delivery of that to customers. We have 5 and soon 6 different sites across North America, all producing the same genetic level of boars with the same health criteria for dissemination to our customers. So building a supply chain that's robust in terms of a location, which has benefits in terms of healthy supply, maintaining those all at the same genetic level, and that's everything from the same testing procedures to the genotyping protocols, maintaining the same standards across those farms. And then you can think about dynamics like shipping the boars and the practical cost of being able to deliver the healthy animals to our customer systems. I think the focus that we do not only on just creating genetic potential, but then thinking strategically about how can we optimally deliver that to our customers is an equally large investment from PIC.
Todd, on your end of it, I keep hearing commitment to health quality. How much of a difference does that make to you? How does that, what confidence does that give you in the product you're receiving?
You start with as healthy animal as you can, because as you go through the years and through the systems, it deteriorates from there. And not that that's a bad thing. It's just that you have streps, you have other pathogens that come into play. And so to me, it's critical that you start with as healthy animal as you possibly can in the beginning, because there is going to be challenges over time on pigs, especially downstream. But you have to rely at the top of the pyramid to make sure that the health is there. And that's a huge commitment from PIC to make sure that is. And the other side is, when pathogens come in, is nobody likes to change sources necessarily once you get into that, to make sure that all those things are in place. And we've had, you know, PIC through the help of utilizing PIC resources to audit sites to make sure they, you know, went through from a biosecurity standpoint and where maybe some opportunities are for us to help ensure that the health is where it needs to be. And but you have to start with health. It's where it begins. So we take those same things within internally from a multiplication standpoint on where we're at from producing the replacement gilts down to the commercial units.
Now, one thing that Todd mentioned that I thought was a great point, so in terms of delivery of breeding stock, whether that be boars or gilts, our focus is on high animal health. But we realize that those Camboros or those terminal boars are going to be producing market pigs that will be growing in challenged environments across different parts of the world. Whether you think about some of the pathogens that Tom mentioned, PRRS, those market pigs are going to be challenged. So we do have a program to validate and test the robustness of those elite high health animals to perform in terms of their progeny in challenged commercial systems. And we do that through what's called our GN crossbred program. So we send healthy semen of those elite genetic boars into challenged sow farms and follow those pigs fully pedigreed back to their mom and dad through challenged commercial production systems, challenged stocking densities, pelleted feed, PRRS breaks. So that gives us the potential to keep health of the breeding stock high that we're providing, but also validate that the commercial progeny that they're going to produce can thrive in those challenged commercial environments. And that program, we'd be producing over 250,000 fully pedigreed commercial pigs in challenged environments to allow us to effectively select for robustness. So that would be a huge investment from our end, but without testing the genetics in a challenged environment, just from the nature of keeping our high health supply chain, it's really the only way to improve the robustness of those pigs, and it's a program that we're committed to actually growing year on year as we're seeing the benefit to commercial robustness come through that program.
So how that programs work, just as Lindsay mentioned, as a supply chain, we get the youngest boars as soon as we move those from the sire lines or for the GN's farms to our boarsters. The first 60 days are on this program, okay? So we want to make sure, so as soon as we get it, we train them, and from the technical group, they provide us the list, which board they're going to test, and they go to these programs, okay? So when these animals start getting, at the same time, probably we having brothers or sisters in our GNs that are making matings, so at the same time that we have been marketing those pigs that have been in challenge situations, we are having off-test pigs in our GNs that are going to be half-brothers or some relatives. So that way is that we are creating the robustness programs.
Talk for a moment about the variation in customer requirements when we move outside the borders of the U.S., outside the borders of North America?
Okay, so those customer requirements, we try to standardize those logos, okay, because we want to make sure that same pixels are received, our domestic customers are receiving in Brazil, China, Europe. So we try to have those, not differentiate those differences, okay? We want to have the same genetics in every place. There is a specific customer requirements, but it's more related with government requirements, look at the quarantine specifications, different tests, okay, or different protocols, or how you, the vaccination, stuff like that. But in standards, we try to standardize those programs regarding genetics, index, and phenotype selection.
Todd, as an end user, when you look at maximizing the potential that PIC is providing to the end user, what are some of the KPIs that are commonly discussed in an operation that you feel allow you to best maximize that potential? Culling rates, et cetera.
Yeah, we manage to the index on the multiplication system, and culling rates kind of come along with that. We're, you know, our multiplier, we're currently at 65 to 70% is what we target. We may not always achieve that, but we do manage to the index, and it's the same with the boar stud. Lindsay's right, you know, just getting semen, you know, even from South Dakota to Minnesota can be challenging, especially in a historic weather event that we've had this past winter. And so we do need to keep some of those genetics available for us internally in our own boar stud, but that's kind of, you have to make contingency plans with that. Just another comment that I had about end users, commercial producers, and getting information back up the supply chain a little bit. You know, there's been a couple instances where we've asked that question. You know, when feed cost goes up and corn price was $7 a bushel, there was a lot of question about, are we measuring the right thing as far as how we're weighting the genetics in terms of feed efficiency? And so those are discussions that are had. Just to kind of entertain, where is the industry going? Where is this going to end up? And I think the other thing that Lindsay had brought up, which is a great point, was about robustness. And I think we see robustness come through even at the sow farm level. Who would have thought that we'd have over a 17 total born and have all those pigs being weanable from a, you know, birth weight and standpoint, and also just, you know, the way the pigs respond being born, the way they, you know, develop through farrowing, and let alone as they go through the nursery and grow finish before they get to market. Now, for every action, there's a reaction. So we monitor the robustness of the pigs, which is all great things, but it also leads to, okay, it may put more challenge on our system as far as an out-of-feed event, as an example. Or maybe it's a behavior issue of the pig as they're wanting to be a little more aggressive from a robustness standpoint. Those are things that we monitor, and we make sure we get information back. And I think the biggest challenge has been, you know, from the robustness, and who would have thought, you know, Lindsay had mentioned average daily gain and feed conversion on those pigs, just how much that genetic potential has been there and what stress that potentially puts on a system from a nutritional standpoint to better match the nutritional needs of a pig growing at that rate and being able to meet those needs, and having people within PIC as a resource to be able to help us figure those things out.
I'm going to invite you to question each other or comment on something that you've heard in just a moment, but I do have a follow-up for Gerardo relating to when there are health issues, when there's a break, and you know here's the procedure by which we identify and go through. What are the steps, the processes you have in place to catch them, to manage those, to note them as quickly as possible? What are some of the tools that PIC uses to best watch out for that?
We mentioned we mentioned a little bit about the borsos, right? On the borsos, we have a test and release. What we do is, before we collected the bores and all the semen that we're going to send out the same day, that morning, we testing all the bores, okay? Well, a high percentage of those bores according to the standards that health insurance providers, okay? So we tested them just to making sure that all the semen that we're going to provide to our customers are not contaminated, or there is no risk to contaminate as best our knowledge at that moment. Okay, so that's the first step that we do in the GTC. Besides that, we do the regulatory monitoring from our herds, right? All the we do it monthly. Same thing with our moving of animals from our farms, right? We do the monthly or weekly or whatever is the requirement for some of the shipments. We test those animals to making sure there is no positives or any results that could affect our customers in the future. Besides that, we have our vets, you know, the pieces that we have. Do we have any clinical signs? Is there any clinical signs of our animals? Do we need to stop any shipments at that moment until we further investigate what's going to happen? So our biggest concern is put on risk our customers, okay? So those are the practices that we have. We have the health team that is very, work very close to us, okay? And making sure that we are going to provide the healthiest animals to our customers.
And actually, Gerardo lived through this one firsthand. We've had the opportunity to work with, for example, boar studs in countries where we didn't trust the local labs. And our business decision at that time was just not to own a boar stud in those regions when we can't be completely confident in the health and testing procedures. So I wouldn't take any of what he just said for granted, because it's not easy in every part of the world.
Yes, we don't have even just simple the shipping, right? The logistics of those samples is not there, okay? So it's very risky, and so we have to make sure that our customers understand what is our risk at that point. And we cannot guarantee the health of those animals, because in some of those countries, we don't have the tools that probably we have in North America. But we tried to provide and protect our customers the best we can.
Questions for each other.
So what about new technologies coming down the line? Anything you guys are currently working on that we can talk about with new technologies, with, you know, tender, as an example, tenderness is one that got incorporated. What's the next one that you're kind of leaning towards or thinking about with putting in for the next set of pigs coming out?
I think one that we're continuing to make progress on is our investment in improving animal health and continuing to make progress with the gene-edited PRRS-resistant pig technology. So that's something we're continuing to make progress on in terms of both genetic development, production of those animals, and the testing and the certification through the FDA process is something that we're continuing to be excited about as a company. Todd, as a producer looking for... You're a young enough guy that you'll still be in the industry for a couple decades to come. What are you most excited about in terms of the potential of the pigs? What do you get most excited about when you think about production 10 years from now relative to production today?
That's a great question on where it goes to. You know, I'm also old enough to realize that, you know, there was a period where our ultimate target or goal was to be 24 pigs per sow per year on a system. To be able to wean 10 pigs per sow was, you know, one of those things that was a huge accomplishment. And now, if you're not 30 pigs per sow, there's something wrong on the farm. And it's the whole mindset of the employees working to, you know, where we started, where we're at today, and to think about, you know, 10 years from now, you know, what influence does that have within a system and developing changes. You know, you had talked about even, you know, how do you build a new sow unit potentially, or a new grower barn with space requirements, with size of the creep areas, with size of the individual pens, and what changes do we need to make, even from, you know, the use of feed and the efficiency of the feed that's being, you know, fed out there. It's very exciting on where we go, but it's also in the, you know, how much progress can we make? What is ultimately the genetic potential? Have we gotten close to capturing what's possible? Or, you know, we would have thought, you know, we were there probably 5-6 years ago, and yet it continues to improve. So it's exciting from that standpoint. To be able to, you know, to see that. And again, as long as health allows that expression. But at some point, you know, I just hope that we don't go off of that edge, that we're playing catch up now to try and manage these pigs differently. But so far, so good.
And with the in one of our other podcasts, we talk about that element that we haven't even touched on, but the consumer impact on the industry, and not just producing for the maximum capability of the genetics, but also considering, well, that may change, and how do we incorporate that? Gerardo, you had a comment.
Yes, I have a question for Todd. Besides you just talking about the great performance that our products has, besides those the performance of our product, what else do you think that PIC is providing to you today?
Well, I think other than the genetics, obviously the resources that we, you know, and part of it is our responsibility to make sure we're utilizing those. And I talked a little bit about, you know, auditing of sites, you know, through the health assurance, benchmarking. You know, we have the United States is blessed with a number of very good systems, but yet those systems, you know, have different expectations. They focus on different things. It doesn't mean they're any more or less successful at the end of the day, but what they, you know, some of the things that they manage to may change a little bit. And so it's always good to do some benchmarking, to kind of have a scoreboard, to kind of see how, you know, where your opportunities are, where your decisions are maybe rewarding you or maybe penalizing you. And PIC, you know, allows us to do some of that. Technical support, you know, working with Juan Carlos on the farrowing side and getting some information there. Grow finish side, we are, you know, actively participating in some of the benchmarking there, which I think is great. And then, you know, the key part is, you know, the nutrition piece. And where are we at? Where do we need to be? What are some areas of opportunity potentially as genetics change? You know, the way we look at it, you know, as far as genetic potential, we know we have individual sows on farms that are 40, 50 pigs per sow. And so to me, it's a small subset, but to me, that's ultimately the genetic potential. And so if we can, you know, help capture that, it's very exciting on where this could go.
Joining us on The Squeal today, Wakefield Pork's head of production, Todd Moratz, and PIC's Lindsay Case, along with Gerardo Lopez. You're welcome to share this information widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.